The pharmaceutical industry is a complex and fascinating field. It takes countless of people to bring a high-quality product to the market. In the Qualitox podcast, I bring to you leaders, experts, and innovators who will share their experiences and explain to us how they do it.
Welcome to the Qualitox podcast. I'm Ian Kugel, your host. I'm from qualhistory.com, where we provide amazing courses for GMP professionals. And today, my guest is Galit Lizai, and she is a data integrity expert. And we're going to dig into an interesting topic about connecting the dots in data. So Galit, how did you start with this job? How did you get into this area of expertise?
Thank you, Jan, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. It's really, really exciting. So I realized that actually all my life I was data integrity was part of my life. This is it's intuitive. It's part of my way of life. And when I realized it, I understand that it can be shared to others to look for a different angle how to implement data integrity in the organization. From professional aspect, I have master degree in agriculture, in the way of in animal science. Part of my journey in my master degree, I worked in Hawaii. My guide asked me to learn, in addition to my professional part of the research, to learn about GMP. Said in US there is there are GMP oriented also in the university, and I want you that you will lead it in our lab in Israel. So I led the GMP, the first immunology labs, GMP labs in Israel, in Elat over there. We started to implement the GMP oriented. Of course, since it's GMP and lab, it's not really GMP. It's what we are. Actually now call it data integrity aspects, how to manage the data, but we didn't know how to call it back then. So it's called GMP, but mainly it was data integrity. And that was my first steps on that. After that, I started to work in labs, in some research lab. And in the last 15 years, I worked in Teva. I started as a lab, as a researcher lab, and after 3 years, we all understood that we need to find some person that will be a negotiator between the IT and the lab. And I think this kind of negotiation is really it's really familiar all over the world, but back then, until like more than 10 years ago, it was not so familiar in Israel. So I was just, I learned it, you know, by step, how to do it. Of course, started by the validation and aspects, and step by step, I understand that it's much more wider than just validation and how to work with some instrument. It's not just to be SME. It's more than that. You have a lot of challenges that you need to find a very nice way how to solve the challenges. And you know, when the time flew, I understand that it's mainly human-related aspect, and that was very nice because I think that if I will change the past, I will go and learn psychology and sociological aspect. So I'm taking data integrity as a human-related aspect, and this is the way I see it. So this is the way. So 3 years when I started to think about building my own company. I understand that it's not just data integrity implementation. I really want to help organization how to find a tailor-made, how to implement the data integrity requirement, which is black and white, but as every black and white aspect, you have your own culture and your own organization. And I really think that I can assist and to find a tailor-made solution for each organization, which is different, of course, from other. I think other thing that you think about data integrity, which is only looking on the requirement. So Here I am.
Right. So for you, data integrity is not much the paper or the computer. It's more people's relationship and how it comes together.
Yes, exactly. Of course. The basic, the fundamental, it's the quality product. So of course, there is no there is no other aspect how to look at it. Of course, the quality product, but how to manage it, how to implement it, because you are trying to train it, and you're writing a very nice SOPs, and you're writing a very good procedure, and then you see again and again and again in the FDA warning letters and all the other aspects, you see that they raise that in the end there is some challenges related to the way how you write your procedure, how you implement your SOPs, how you train your people. So in the end, what they are looking for is how the people implement this kind of requirements. And I think right. that not everyone can understand the SOP in the right way. Or so I think we need to find a way how to look at that, how to enter exactly to the, you know, to the human mind, that it will be a very efficient implementation.
Right. So from your perspective, is this the unseen complexity? So what is the unseen complexity of the data integrity itself?
The human aspect. I think this is the main challenge. When I started to speak with my customer, my colleagues, that the words are clear, but you need to think about the bottom line. The bottom line is the control. You have to understand that actually all those authorities looking for the control. Data integrity is not something new. It's not new. If you look on the papers, on those documents that emphasize the requirement, actually the ALCOA, all those buzzwords that related to data integrity, if you look on those documents, you see that everything is related to, it's referenced to some other codes that some of them written 100 years ago. So it's not just, this is something new, like in the 20, 30 years ago. It's mainly related to all above the control aspects that run on those authorities' rules all over the years. So what was the difference in the last decades was the computer or the data, but overall papers, it's also, everything was data back then also. So it's mainly related to the control and how you control your process and how you control the reliability of your data. So now, obviously, everything is based on data. So data integrity is now obviously the main core of everything in the organization, how to look on the big picture of your data in the organization. So it's not just related to pharma or bio and medical or all those, or cosmetics or of course the foods organization. It's related to everyone, because every organization, smallest and the highest, taking any decision based on data. So when we are looking about the connecting the dots, what we are starting to speak about it, one of the fundamental aspects in data integrity documents or requirement is looking for the data cycle, how you look at data life cycle. So this is the connection, of course. It is a basic. Every piece of data is moving from dot to dot, and you should control and understand every dot. How to control it? It's a risk-based. Or if you need to control it, it's risk-based. So all those fundamental aspects like risk-based and how to control it or the data life cycle is all related to the connection between the dots. This is the basic. Another aspect of those connecting to dots is related to the data itself in the organization. Sometimes it's related to product, but sometimes it's related to finance or other aspects. So when you want to see the big picture, you have to, it's like the game. You have to connect between the dots in order to see the big picture. And every organization should understand what is the real risk. If the risk is related to regulation or the pharma, or it's the risk is finance. So they need to find a way what is the basic risk to take care about it.
So can you give us some examples for good dot connecting and bad dot connecting in the evaluation? How does it represent itself? How can we distinguish between the two?
Okay, it's a very nice question. I will go to the basic. I see it a lot when we spoke with customers about the data lifecycle. Not everyone see it intuitive. for myself, it's very intuitive. When you look on data, of course, you understand that it's starting from some zero point, and it went like from the original data until the analysis data. This is also related to Alcoa, which is taking the original as the main aspect that need to take care about it. And when we are speaking about going forward in with the connection of the data, sometimes, and it's not just in the pharma, I see it also in the when you wanted to clean the data. Sometimes you don't know even what is your raw data, what is your original data. Sometimes you say, okay, but we have the data, and that's enough. We can print it and to put it in our notebook. I said, oh, but you don't know if the data is accurate. How you will know if the data is accurate if you don't know what's happened in between? And looking for how what happened in between, not everyone know how to recognize it. So I told them all the time, mainly in, of course in the validation aspect, but not just in that. Look and see if you have a full traceability to all those dots. If someone can touch your dots, sometimes if someone can enter to some of the points, and this is very familiar with all those data integrity aspects about the traceability, about the security. Security is part of it. But when you speak about data lifecycle, it meaning that you have to understand what is the data lifecycle of your data, of this piece of data that you take any kind of decision about it. So what I'm trying to emphasize is that you have to understand what happened before. And if you don't know it, maybe someone else know it. So trust him. But if you need to trust him, so you need to have a full methodology, how to trust him. Again, it's all about people in the end. So, and data integrity overall, it's a trustable. You have to trust the people, the process. But how you can trust the process only if you have a good controlled aspect in your organization. So it's not just the SMEs, it's also the HR, the security, it's all about everyone in this organization. So.
Right.
I hope that I understand
right.
your question.
Right. So you reminded me the game that we used to play as children, the educational game of having, for example, when you learned mathematics or languages, and
yes,
you had to connect different words or numbers, and then you got some cool picture, a butterfly, I don't know, some animal.
Exactly.
And if you don't connect it correctly, you get some monster instead.
Exactly.
As some unwanted result. So then you really need to know what connects to what. And it's enough that you have one line that is incorrect, then the whole pyramid collapses, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So actually, there is a lot of association regarding this play. When I started to think about connecting the dots, which is now one of my lectures that I'm giving, it's not just connecting the dots as a data lifecycle. It's also related to control. When I thought about the kids, when you're starting to play with this kind of game, you have like 25 points. And the cat is very strict. No, you don't have little details because you want that it will be very, very simple. So you use what they already know. We have also what we have already knows. And it's very simple game that you just need to follow the 25 points. So the control is easy because it's taken care. It's based on your knowledge how to look on the flower. And when you start into to work with this game, actually, when you are 10 years old, it's too high. But you see that they're starting to add points. And if you have a lot of points, you have less mistakes because you have a lot of control points. And this is the difference between an organization. If you have a lot of control points or you have just far away point, that can be changed the picture totally. But if you need to decide if you want to have a wider space between the points, or you want to be very, very strict and to look and control every kind of point. So it's more like the mature of your organization. How
right.
to
so it's deciding which points are neglectable, for example, and which lines, for example, if you don't take this point into account, the line will be still straight.
Straight, right? Exactly. So this is related to risk-based. So you need to decide when you jump from point to point, how much risk it's related. So if it's not there is no, or it's a low risk, so you don't need to have so much control or so much mm-hmm. points in between to check to verify right. if the line
will
be straight.
You just need to make sure that if you have some data and you want to reach back to the history of it, that even if you skip some point that somebody, I don't know, copied some data from the PC on paper and yes. then copied to another system, that you know that at least between those two points, the data will be the yes. same and traceable then, right?
Yes, exactly. The risk, it's all related to the risk. So mm-hmm. in the end, if you have some very high and very effective control gate in other point, so you know that maybe you will lose some hours of work, but overall, maybe to check this point is not so important. But when you're looking on data, you want to be sure that you have a reliable data. And when your audit or someone asks you about it, you should give them the confidence that you have reliable data. And if you show your control process. There's a lot. I have a lot of discussion with my customers that how to show it. You have the confidence. You just need to show them your control process. You don't need to follow everything that they said just to be sure that you are okay. You are okay. You just need to show your the way how you build your risk assessment and what was your decision. And to document it, of course, in an accurate way. But you don't need to put additional action just because you think that someone will want to see it. You don't need to do it according to what someone need want to see something. You need to be sure that your control is accurate. Maybe there will be someone that will say to you that it's not enough, that's something else. But you need to build your own risk assessment. Every decision should be based on risk assessment, and you need to build your own control process. This is the main idea. But in the end, you have people over there, and as I said, there's always a challenge.
Do you have some maybe tips or advice how to do this risk analysis about connecting the dots? So how do you detect the right dots, the important dots that you must show and that you must document, that you're not allowed to skip? How do you do it during this risk analysis?
The best way how I see things, it's if it's logic. Okay, I know that there is a lot of risk assessment methodology. Okay, there's a lot. You can go to every kind of, you know, in Google, you can write a risk analysis methodology and you get everything. And in the past, I argue with a lot of people about, do we need to have a risk for any requirement we have in the validation process? And I'm saying that everything can be a risk. So the way I see it, if you have a point or process, ask yourself, but not yourself. I'm really emphasize all the time that you have a team, like having a brainstorm. So if you have any kind of process, look for all the aspects. So, for example, yesterday we spoke about Autoclave. Okay, Autoclave has his own paper, but in this kind of Autoclave, you have also electronic data. If you have electronic data, the paper is not enough. But in this point of having Autoclave, that having a very very strict cycle, is this a really risk if you will not have the all electronic data in that case? Maybe it does and maybe it's not. It's related to the process. But in the end, this is kind of challenge, which is very small because, you know, they look at me and said, why we need to discuss it even, you know, if we needed the electronic data or not? And I said, this is a risk. You need to decide if it's really a risk that reflects the process or not. Maybe your paper, it will be enough, but maybe not. And she said to me, you know, we print the autoclave paper, but we always having another copy because the paper, you know, it's a paper. It's not a very good paper, so they have to have copy. So I told them, okay, you see that you already thought about the risk. You have a risk. You know, you're not saving the data, and you're thinking about that. You know, the paper is the best approach, but in the end, you think that the paper is not good enough, so you are copying the data, the paper, and then you put it on your archive, and your archive is not a very good place because you don't have all those things that can assist you not to lose your data. So maybe the best approach is go back and take the digital data. So I'm not saying that, you know, you see, this is a really example, but how much effort you are using only because you are looking only on the really
right
spot.
For me, I see a lot of problems with that from the business side because many people look at those things really short-sighted. What do I mean by that? So it's about deviations, root cause analysis, risk management, and for example, this paper that you're talking about. So we see it when people approach deviations and that they think those deviations are too small to, you know, to start a risk management process from the risk and risk analysis. They prefer just to document it over and over again because it's a minor deviation, doesn't interfere with the quality of the product, but it interferes with the process and the time. The same with the paper, right? So how much human time is worth, right, to write down all the data and then copy it to another place and then store it in the archive and then you need to you know, trace everything in the archive. Where is it? When do you need to throw it away? How many hours that is and how much how much money you can invest in just you know, to change it to electronic system in one investment that will buy itself in a year or two, and then you're in the plus, right? So you're after 2 years, you're making money already, right?
On the process. But it's hard because people in the end stuck in the way how they understand, they know it's, you know, this is our comfort zone and we don't want to go there.
Exactly,
and other aspect is when a lot of consult, like you said, go to the automation, let's go and buy some application or some system. And then everyone said to them, oh, but if you are buying the system, you need to go to validation. You need to go to validation process.
Then
so,
it's scary.
We don't have. And it's scary. And I said to them, no, you can do the validation process also in an easy way. You just need to think all about control in the end. This is the reason I'm emphasizing again and again, because it's control. You don't have to all the time enter to those frames that are fighting you. Like if you look on the control process, it's much more easier to understand it. You don't have to go all over the places just to, you know, to have a validate process in your autoclave. This is the reason I'm saying that you have to be a team, because everyone has his own comfort zone. But if you are a team, you can breach it. You can think about something else, and not all the time you have the time to have those kind of team meeting. This is the reason I'm always encourage those organizations that we work together to have it in your calendar, to have a team meeting once in a week, once in 2 weeks, once in a month, even if you don't have any challenge. Now to do it,
talk about it,
brainstorm about something that happened, and it's open the mind to think, oh, that's remind me something else that I thought about it. And actually this is the reason I opened this group in Facebook, and I'm raising all kind of challenges, not just related to data, the core data integrity aspect. I'm trying to jump the balls, you know, taking all the balls and jumping it, because there is all kind of things, all kind of challenges that related also to your daily life, and actually in the end it related also to all your challenges in your organization that related to data integrity, because everyone now also in your daily life, every minute actually you think you are taking a decision about based on data, and if you're taking a decision about based on data, you want to to know that your data is reliable. And how do you know it? If you understand the code, if you understand the control, or you understand the traceability of the data. And it's all about that in the end. It's very intuitive, and this is the way I see it also in your organization. So the autoclave is very, very simple example. But of course, when you go to other aspects, for example, the audit trail. Everyone's speaking about the audit trail. Every system have to have an audit trail. It came as a control tool. They want you to have a control tool. What is the meaning? You have to have a control process. And the audit trail is a kind of a tool that can assist you to control the process. So yesterday we have a discussion about the audit trail. You have an audit trail almost now in every digital, I think, instrument. Everyone have audit trail, but not all of them have the right and appropriate audit trail. Some of them give you a lot of data. Some of them give you very small. But in the end, how you work with that? How you use it as a control tool? And it's, again, going back to the risk-based. If you have a risk, in this point, in this dot in your process, do you need to use the audit trail or not? Is the audit trail will be the one, the tool that will assist you, or maybe other tool? So you have as a team or organization, small, it's not important what kind of or the biggest organization, you have to understand the dots, and you have to understand the control. And if you understand the control, then you can understand what kind of tools you can use. Sometimes will be the audit trail, and sometimes not. If you have audit trail, it's not meaning that you have to go over the audit trail every other minute. No, you need to go to the audit trail in the right minutes, when you need it as a control point. But you don't need. But the main idea is not go throw it away. You should discuss it, and you should decide about it. And of course, to document it and to write it in the SOP and to train it. It's another example is the security. You said that everyone have to have a username and password, obviously. Okay, this is the fundamental that everyone will enter with username and password to end. So again, it's a control point. Why you need it? Because you need it in the end to know who was the person that write this piece of data, and why it's important. It's important because if you want to go back and to know if something happened, this is the way you can know what happened, and to discuss it and to find what happened over there and why it was. Again, it's a tool in the end. It's a tool that will assist you to control the process. You don't and not always you have the opportunity to have a username and password. And what now? You will not have a control? No, you will find another tool to control it. Of course, you will use security because other aspects, because you don't want your data will flow away, and you don't want that someone will hurt your data. But related to data integrity, which is what we are looking for, is for the mistakes. Because if you said that we trust the people, we trust the data governance, we trust the HR that find us the right people in the organization, and we have a good security aspect that no data will flow away and no one will harm the data, then we have still something that can hurt us. Is related to mistakes, that human mistakes, and then you can use the security as a tool that will minimize those mistakes. So again, the way I look at it, it's like a control tools, and there's a lot of control tools, but data integrity is related to control. And if you go back to Alcoa, because Alcoa is the fundamental, and everyone knows that if you look on data integrity, you look for those Alcoa verbs. And if you look now, after I spoke about control and that everything is connected, if you look on the Alcoa, and you can understand that everything related to that, that Alcoa also is, every letter has a full, there's a package of requirements. And all those requirements, in the end, are related to control. And they find out that it's much more easier to understand and to implement those requirements if we give them letters. So what is those kind of letters? Is again to assist you as a human to implement in the right way the aspect or the requirement of data integrity, which again, are not related just to data integrity, it's related to control, to all those other requirements, to document in a right way, to train in a right way. Actually, if you look on training, we spoke about training back then, training is part of the regulation. There is a specific code in the CIFRA that related to training. And it's not written in data integrity, but if you will not train in a right way, you can lose your data because you will not work with the system in an accurate way. So of course, it's also related to data integrity, but it's not written in the Alcoa. It's written in the control process that you have to have a good training that will be reflect the user authorized or user access in your computer. I'm trying to connect it to the security. When we said about username and password, that everyone need to enter to some system with username and password. It's not just your username and password. You have also a role in this system. And this kind of role, I hope that you have a good training about how to work as a role the training should reflect the role. So you will not sit in data integrity that asks you to have an accurate training to an accurate role. Now, understand what I'm trying to
right,
say?
Right, right. So each person must have the right role for his job, and he must be trained fully in the role that he's given, because if he has more access than he's trained to, then we may have a problem, because he may do mistakes, he might use or change stuff that he have no idea what he's doing, right? So you need to make sure that everybody gets the right role, and that the people are trained for those roles correctly, and they evaluate the people, not just go for some training, sit there 1 hour, sign a paper, and that's it. You're done, right?
Exactly.
So you need to do it over and over again.
Yeah, and it's related to control.
To controls,
control
right.
your data, that your data will not have any kind of mistake that in the end, your data will not be reliable.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say, that everything is connection to all those requirements, the regulatory requirement all over, not just those data integrity. So if you're looking on those Alcoa, you can go by every letter, and you will see that everything is connected to all. There is reference, actually, if you go to FDA, this FDA guideline that everyone knows from data integrity aspect. If you look on the small letters on the bottom, you see that they are asking you to go to any other CFRs that they already wrote. It's old CFRs that already are written. So because everything is now, it's connected to that. So if you look on the warning letter, actually, I heard that you spoke with Daniel about it a lot. All in the past years, you saw, actually in the, I think the 5-10 years ago, we saw a lot of warning letter that was written direct. Let's say that you have a data integrity issue. Actually, if you look on the last few months, actually the last year, you will not see so many letters that saying that you have a data exactly data integrity issues. They're going back, and you see more and more the same letters that speak about the procedure, about the control. They're starting to write the same in the same way that they write in the past, because they emphasize the meaning of data integrity, but now they are getting back that data integrity is part of the overall requirement. It's not something that you should see it in a unique way. The reason they emphasize it in the past, because we're starting to work with all those instruments, and right, they have to write it, but now they're starting to understand,
right,
that.
So they just say you don't have your quality system under control, or they say
exactly,
quality assurance doesn't perform its roles, and then when you go inside, then you see, okay, audit trails, data integrity problems, so it's not now a problem by itself, but it's part of the quality system, and then and if you have data integrity problems, it means the whole quality system is at risk, and then it's a part of the big problem then, right?
Exactly.
So that's what you mean.
What perfect. Right.
Yeah, so that is a good summary of connecting the dots, that everything is connected, the whole data, the data integrity is an integral part right now, especially now that we have computers and we need to train the people so to use them correctly. Right. So Galit, is there something else that you would like to discuss that we didn't touch yet?
To this point. I hope it was clear that you know the main core is the control, and of course we have different different tools that can assist us. This is the audit trail, the security, the investigation. All of them are part of the tools that assist you us to have a good control process in our organization. In the end, we would like to have a good product. The quality of proof is under us, and we have to have it. That will not harm in any kind of way.
So thank you very much again, Galit, for coming and discussing with me about this fascinating topic.
Thank you. Thank you very much.